2 Peter 2 and verse 11. Poo-poo. Angloy. Iskui. Tai. Biname. Maisonte. Maisones. Ontes. U. Ferusen. Cot. Auton. Para. Kirio. Blasphemon. Chrisin. Going back. Pupo ongaloi iskui kai diname maisones ontes u barusen kat auton para kirio blasphemon chrisin. I'll read that for you sometime. Could somebody read this for me? Have you got a translation to the side of it?
Yeah.
I thought I'd start doing that. That might help a little bit too. What have you got? New International Version?
New American Standard.
New American Standard. Good.
Okay. Whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord.
All right. Now this goes back to Jude 9, doesn't it? Do you? Someone have Jude 9 somewhere? Jude 9, because we need to cross-reference back to Jude 9. But the 2 Peter, the second chapter, is almost a repeat of Jude 9. And Jude 9 is what? I mean, Jude. Jude is what?
Actually, the apostates.
Well, the apostates, but what is he quoting from? So much of his writing.
Enoch.
The Book of Enoch. All right. And if you don't have the Book of Enoch, you can get it free off of my website. All it costs is how much your printer. If you got a computer, it'll just print it right out. I had to do a couple of them for people today. Oh, there, you can go back and read that. Some, what's part of it's inspired? I don't know. But there's some really neat stuff in the Book of Jude. Then it says, where angels, being in strength and in power and greater, not they bear, and that word they bear, they continually bear, according to them, beside the Lord, bringing a railing, blaspheming judgment. Now, have you got Jude 9? Who's got Jude 9? No, Jude 9. Period. There's only one chapter in Jude. Okay, brother. Go ahead.
Michael, the archangel, who, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body, did not dare pronounce against him the railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
All right. Now, why? Why did not Michael bring a railing judgment against Lucifer or Satan?
Too much power.
Huh?
Lucifer was very powerful.
Lucifer is very powerful. And why? And what about him? What does the Bible call Lucifer today or Satan today? What does God call him?
Adversary.
Well, he's the adversary, but what is he called concerning this cosmos? What? The God of this world. Now, what does that mean, the God of this world? What? He has the right to be over this area right now. That's right.
Why does he have the right?
Because he deceived mankind, and he took the title deed to this earth, and God has not taken it back yet. So guess whose it is? Who's right? Has he got a right to get in here? Read the Book of Jude. Read the Book of Jude. And study the Book of Jude. And see what happened in the Book of Jude. Does Satan have permission to mess with our lives?
Yeah.
Oh, he does. And God allows him to do that. Because why? Because he is the prince and the power and the authority of the air today. One of these days, we're not going to have to put up with him anymore. I thank God that one of these days, that God is going to take all of this back. But it's going to be a while yet. Sometimes, yeah, we have to put up with things for a while. They told me if I go have the surgery, you know, that I could get better, and I'm waiting to get better. That's a long time. It's 7 weeks this week. But sometimes when we have to wait, we have to wait. God is patient in there. God is patient. We've all been dead. Yes, brother.
I'm just wondering what your opinion is about, do you think Satan was deceived when Christ went on the cross because he's the one that initiated Christ to go on the cross, to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think God allowed him to be deceived, or he didn't have any other choice?
Well, you know, Satan thinks he's going to win.
So he thought he could destroy the Son of Man?
Yes. He was working on it when he was tempting Jesus. Now, did he tempt Jesus? If you want to hear a real good sermon on temptation, by the way, go to discovertheword.com and go back earlier this month, by Dr. Martin Kahneman and listen to a sermon on temptation. He did a really good sermon on temptation. It's a classic sermon on temptation, as a matter of fact. It's a great one. But Jesus was tempted like as we are, but without sin. All right? Now, why did God allow Satan to tempt God? Was Jesus ever not God? Yeah, he was God and man. Why did God allow Satan to tempt?
Because God came down to Satan's territory.
Yes, he came into the strong man's country. His country, the strong man. Who's the strong man in the parable of the strong man?
Satan.
Satan. He came down to do what to Satan? The binding. All right, it's not totally done yet, but he's going to do it. You know, Satan is alive and well. But one of these days, he's going to be put down. How do you like the softer seats usually? They're sitting on those softer seats. That's nice, isn't it? You can thank Brother John Gage for that. He got those in here for you.
Well, has three of those. He's
going to
have a third.
He's
kicked out of heaven,
his
first.
He's been
kicked out off earth. Mm-hmm. The second, and then he's
going to
have his third.
His final abode is going to be in the lake of fire. In the lake of fire. That's going to be his final abode. That's where God's going to put him. He will never bother anybody else. We ought to read the book of Job every now and then just to realize where we are right now.
Well, after he's bound up and Christ reigns for 1,000 years, he'll be released again for a little while, right?
He's not going to be put in lake fire yet.
No.
He's going to be put in the bottomless pit and chained. And then he will be thrown into the lake of fire, and then he'll be chained for 1,000 years, and then he'll be turned loose, and he really gets active.
People follow me in.
You know, for 1,000 years, people do not, they won't see, they won't be influenced by Satan whatsoever, but when God turns him loose, he's going to be... They are going to follow him. To prove to mankind that mankind, the old story about Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
For 1,000 years, there are going to be people here on this earth that are going to be, some of them are going to be executed because they won't follow God. They're going to have to follow God because we're going to be under the rule of Jesus Christ, and he's going to be ruling this earth with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. That means a powerful... In other words, they're going to do it, whether they want to or not. They're going to be doing it. Yes?
Maybe let me rephrase my question. Because in Hebrews 2, I think it's 14, it says that Christ destroyed the works of the devil. So, did Satan know that was going to happen? Or was he deceived? And God came...
Satan has access to the Bible. We know that because he quoted the Bible. He quoted the Bible before the Bible. He quoted the Word of God before it was even written down in the book of Genesis.
Okay.
I don't know how to... It's very hard to explain. He is very powerful and he knows a lot and he's smart. But he thinks he's going to win. All I can tell you is that there is a mental illness. And in that mental illness is what we call narcissism. And a narcissistic person is always right. And I mean, they are not wrong. No matter what. I mean, when they are faced with their guilt right in front of their nose, they will say, "I'm not guilty." They can be in jail, and I mean, the prisons are full of them. They think they're smarter than the law. But they're not. They're guilty just the same. Well, that's the way Satan is, I believe. A lot of mental illness, much mental illness, is demonic anyway. Some of it's chemical imbalance and things, but a lot of it is demonic. And maybe it's a copycat of what Satan is sometimes. Because, boy, you really see, look at Hitler, look at Charles Manson, look at some of the people out there, the things that they have done, the power that they've had. 2 and 12, A and B. Hutoi. They. Os. Aloga. Zoa. Deg. Me. Mena. Fisaka. I should say Fisaka. Ace. Alusin. Tai. Plethoron. And. Hoi. Agnusen. Lestemontes. In. Te. Plethora. Alton. Tai. Cesare Sonte. All right. Let's go back and look at this now. We can cross-reference this to Jude 10, Jeremiah 12 and 3, Colossians 2:22, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 1 Timothy 1 and 7. These are just some of the, and Jude 10 also. These are just some of the cross-references that this scripture goes with. You know, but no scripture stands alone. Did you know that? No scripture stands alone. It's backed up from Genesis to Revelation. All right? Hukoi, day. Now, how do we start this sentence, by the way? Greek, a lot of times, will put the conjunction back in the sentence just a little bit. But actually, it starts with day, doesn't it? In our English mode of thinking. It says, but these ones, these men, is what it's talking about. This is a nominative plural masculine demonstrative pronoun here. These men, as, or like as, or just as, aloga, aloga. What in the world does this come from? Brother Ken, you know what that one comes from?
Yeah, it comes from Lego.
It comes from Lego or Logos.
It's
okay. And it's got what in the front of it?
A prefix of negation.
That's right. Right on the front of it. So what does it mean?
Without
logic.
Yeah.
Without logic. Our word logic, guess where it comes from? The word logic comes from what? Logos. All right, logic comes right from this word. The English word logic comes right out of the Greek word logos. Okay, and this is without logic, without reason. These, you know the difference between animals and mankind? Man has access to books. We can sit down and read what Socrates said 3,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, we can read what the Bible says. And we can communicate it from generation to generation. Animals can't do that. They can think. They, animals do think. How many of you ever seen a dog think, or a pig, or even a bird, or a duck? They do think. What?
They can reason.
And they reason to some extent. They can use tools. One time they said mankind's alone. God made animals. They do reason. They do think. But they cannot communicate from generation to generation. What they have is by instinct. So much of what they do is by instinct. It's engrafted in their genetic structure. But they do think. But they cannot communicate with what happened 500 years ago. Man can do that. Man can do that. What about if you had to learn, every generation had to learn everything all over again? We'd be out there swinging in the trees, wouldn't we? Well, God made us different. God made us like Him. All right? He said, without reason, animals, zoe. How about the word zoo? Where do you think the word zoo come from? Where does it come from? The word zoo. This Greek word right here, zoa, zoo, okay? What do you have in a zoo?
Live animals.
Live animals, all right. Live, living things. I went up to a zoo, where in Orlando did I go to that zoo? We went over to Atascadero, to the little old zoo over there, and they even had bugs in that zoo. I never expected to see bugs in a zoo, but they had bugs, and that's life. All right. They had scorpions and big cockroaches and all kinds of stuff. I couldn't imagine anybody wanting to keep a cockroach alive.
The way it's going, they might start putting Baptists in zoos.
And then it says, Gag Nei Mena. It says, these ones, these men are like, are just like animals, are like without reason, having been born physical. That's where we get our word physical. They're only physical, that's all. Just physical. And then it says, instinct only. And then we have the word ace. Ace, in Greek, can anybody remember what ace means? There's a little old grammatical explanation of the word ace. You remember what that is, Brother Ken? Extinction.
Or limitation of...
A thought or verbal action. Ace denotes the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Extension or limitation, you can go back because of something, to do something, or to become something. And right here, it says to become. They're born, having been born, to become a loosen. We get our word loose from the middle of this word. Loose. What do you do when you're loose? Free, huh? And this word means not free. Captured. Put in a cage. Captured and a beast of burden. A horse, a cow. One time they used to, not only did they eat cattle, but they took them and they hooked them up to a yoke. And they pulled plows, they pulled wagons and all kinds of stuff. And then when he got too old, then they make jerky out of him. Just an animal to be used and then ate at the end. All right? Used up and then eaten. For capture, or to become, having been born to be captured, not free. And then it says here, we have the word photharon. Now that's an unusual word. That word means for destruction. When you use the now, by the way, this word alusin right there, it contains the word of becoming a predator and prey at the same time. Kill and be killed. That type of an animal. Out in the animal world that we see today, we have things killing and eating each other, don't we? Kind of like Wall Street and big business that we see kill and kill and grab and whatever. The desire to come out on top like an animal.
Does this carry on in this word?
Well, it's like that word. Okay, Therion, that means the swift-running beast. That's the book of Revelation, the beast in the book of Revelation. You know, he's doing pretty good, and he's learning this great business. I told him if he hung around here for about 3 or 4 years, that he'd just be just running out his ears. Going on 5 years, he's running out his ears, see there? That's what you can be when you hang around just a little bit longer, okay? Get this stuff in your head. Okay, destruction, contaminated. Prey and predator. Animals basically were made as they are today to kill and be killed. McDonald's, Burger King. Mm-hmm. That's, and you look out in the sea. Just go out and just look in the sea. You have a big fish over here gobbling up all the little fish. And all of a sudden comes a bigger fish and he's lunch. And then here comes another one bigger than that one and he's lunch. Predator and prey. Physical, that's all. Physical. No reason. No God. And then it says, in which things they are ignorant. They, third person plural, present indicative active, they continue to be ignorant. Ignoramuses. Railing, blaspheming. Nominative plural masculine, present participle active. That comes from blasphemio. That means what? What do you remember what that word means?
Irreverency.
It means to be irreverent. It means to say stupid things. It means to lie about somebody. It means perjury. It means false indictments. A lawyer has to go to school to learn how to do this. And only the cream of crop can take the bar. And then it says, in te pathora. Baptized into destruction. That word in, te, there in, that means immersed in it. In. Absolutely drowned in it. Smelling of it. Smelling of this corruption. This word, pathara there, it means to soil and to become corrupt. We have a parable in the New Testament that talks about yeast. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Many people get that thing all messed up. Yeast in the Bible is always a type of what?
Sin
and corruption. Now, when you put yeast, and by the way, in the Old Testament times, when they got ready for a holy day, what did they do with all the yeast in the house? Got rid of. No sin, no corruption. And they took the yeast and got rid of it. But when you put yeast in bread, what happens to the yeast? What happens to the bread?
Rising.
What?
Rising.
It rises. But what is going on in there?
Oh.
What's going on in that bread that makes it rise?
Little germs are
absolutely going throughout the bread. The germs, the bacteria is going in every particle of the bread and separating in there, and it's digesting it. It's corrupting it all. And how do you stop the corruption of the bread after the bread rises all up and swells all up? You have to do something to it or it's spoiled. You have to break it. And when you bake something, what happens? The fire, and fire is what? A purifier and a type of judgment in the Word of God. Just think about that for just a little bit. The loaf of bread. I heard a preacher one time, matter of fact, the preacher that found the disc, bread. That's what he preached on, bread. And he preached on lettuce one time.
He's making a salad over
there. Bread and lettuce. He would preach about things like, boy, I mean, he found in a lot of churches, almost every Southern Baptist church and Missionary Baptist church and the whole San Joaquin Valley, the man had found it. Doug Pointer. He preached on bread one time, and he told how that yeast and how that is a type of sin. And how it corrupts and totally destroys your life. And it does, doesn't it? It destroys your life. And it clings on you. I know a lot of interpretations of the woman. What is a woman a type of in the Bible, by the way? The woman went and hid the yeast and the bread until the whole lump was leavened. What is a woman a type of in the Bible?
Get in trouble.
Bill?
False religion. False religion. We're not talking about you, ladies. But if you look up the women in the Bible, when it talks about women, it's talking usually the woman in the book of Revelation was what? She was the type of false religious system that is in the great harlot of the book of Revelation. Woman's the type of sin. Type of false religion. What did this woman do in the bread? She put sin in it. She put error in it. All right, I told you that was for free, people. And by the way, this corruption that is talked about there, this is not a Grecian, not a Greco-Roman idea. This is a Hebraism, by the way. This corruption here. They shall be in their corruption of them, indeed they shall be destroyed. They shall be destroyed by their corruption. By their greed they shall be destroyed. Alright? Alright, 2:13, A and B. Peter plays on words here again. In 2 Peter 2:15, Romans 13:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 11:21 and Jude 12 and James 4:1-3. Now someone look up, go to the book of Jude for me, Jude 12. Because we have to do this. And also, I want you to read this verse in the New American Standard, Brother Ken. Jude 12. I want you to get that one.
I got it.
You got it.
These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, laid on trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots.
All right. Now, people have something to say about Second Peter 2:13 and the book of Jude. Do they sound extremely familiar?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into that in just a minute. They're going to sound extremely familiar as we translate this. They could both be quoting from the book of Enoch. All right. Aduk and Manoi. Nesto. Adikias. Hadanain. Hegu Manoi. Tain. N. Camera. Prophane. Stiloi. Kai. Lamoi. Improfontes. Intase optase. Apatase. Alton. Sinuk Omanoi. And then he meant. There's a lot in this verse here. Trying to cover this. How many of you are looking forward to getting the Second Thessalonians? That's another eschatological book. That's the next one. All right. Yes, brother. Okay. You want me to read it all over again? All right. Adukamanoi, Miston, Adikias, Hedanain, Hegumanoi, Tain, and Himira, Profane, Spiloi, Kai, Lamoi, Enprofontes, Mtase, Apatase, Alton, Sinuk, Hu, Manoi, Himin. Now let's go back and look at this thing. Suffering unjust wrongs. Wages of unrighteousness. The wages of unrighteousness. Love, Ken, read this from New American Standard for me over there to the side.
Okay. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it as pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes for dealing in their deceptions as they carouse with you.
All right. Now, talking about what? He's talking about evildoers that have slipped into churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter is condemning them. These teachers that are teaching error in God's churches. This is like the woman that hid the meal and the leaven and the bread. This is like the woman in the book of Revelation, the woman that perverted religion on this earth. This is the parable of the mustard tree. All right. How many of you are familiar with the parables? By the way, I did 15 classes on the parables. If you want them, they're available to you. There was a parable of the mustard tree. All right? And there was a parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. And what did the sower sow? Seed. All right. Who was the sower? God the Son. What was the seed? The Word of God. Where did he sow it?
Hearts of men.
Okay, in the hearts of men, but it was also in the world. All right. And some of it fell by the roadside, and what ate up the seed?
Birds.
The dirty birds ate up the seed. Who were the dirty birds?
Satan's
little imps. Satan's little devils. All right. Now, let's go to the parable of the mustard seed. Parable of the mustard seed. All of a sudden, this mustard seed, which is a mustard plant, and you see this all over. How did the mustard plants get here, Marilyn?
The Spanish
came along.
They came along and sowed the seed in the spring. Mm-hmm. And when anybody else followed them in the spring, they knew what they were
saying. All right, they followed the mustard, the path of the mustards. Okay, just like Hansel and Gretel. That's what the Spanish did through here. They came through here and they planted this mustard seed, and they could come back and see where they'd marked the trails of what they'd done. All right, that's how all the mustard got going on over here. Well, the parable of the mustard tree. The mustard tree is a monstrosity. It is not something normal. It was an herb. But now this mustard tree, it grew up, and all the birds of the air came and nested in it. What do the birds represent? False religion and the devil. Nesting in the tree. The monstrosity, the plant that turned into a monstrosity and became a tree. False religion in the world.
It's a place of refuge and resting for Satan's feet.
Yeah. Well, God is giving them the hot foot right here. In His Word, He's given these devils that want to come and nest in God's churches, He's giving them the hot foot. Get out of here. He's lighting the fire under them. He said, God's telling God's churches, get rid of these rats. You'll never get them converted. There's no hope for them. Get them out of your churches. These are devils coming into God's home. I heard a preacher preach one time, it's Brother Porter, as a matter of fact. He preached that God, if he could just get the unsaved deacons and preachers out of God's churches, he could do a whole lot more with the churches. Well, he could. We have a hard time. One problem, sometimes God's churches don't preach repentance enough. Before salvation comes repentance. But Bill, what in the world does repentance mean?
Repentance?
Uh-huh. No. Are you repentant of anything?
I would say giving up.
Giving up.
Giving up yourself.
What's another word for it?
Changing direction.
Changing direction?
Changing your mind.
Changing your mind?
Rebirth.
Well, rebirthing, and what is it, young one? A complete turnaround. How about being sorry for something? Oh, that's a real good word, being sorry for something. Until you come to the point in your life that you're sorry for your sins, there is no salvation. Did you know that? Those sins are taking you to hell.
Some people are sorry because they got caught.
That's right. Some people were sorry they got caught. One time there was an example of that in the New Testament. A man was sorry that he got caught, and he killed himself, and went right straight to hell. Who was he? Judas. He didn't repent. He was sorry. There was sorry without repentance there. When you come to the point in your life that you realize that where your sins are taken, where are your sins taking you?
Hell.
Right to hell. Your ungodliness is clinging on to you and taking you right straight to the burning flames of hell. And when you realize that in your life, then God will do something about it. You come to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Save my soul. Forgive me of my sins. If they preach that more from pulpits, we might even get some deacons and church members saved. All right. You work in the jails and prisons, don't you, brother?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, they're already been caught, brother.
You don't have to tell them they're sinners. Dude.
Well, some of them dudes in there, I'm innocent.
Well, it's true.
But they've been caught. But they're still innocent. But they're not. But that's like people that get in churches sometimes, they get caught. They say, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. But they're sinners. You know, we're all sinners. All of us are sinners.
Nobody is innocent.
But what the difference between a saved sinner and a lost sinner is what?
Grace.
Grace. And what does that grace, what does God give you when you get that grace? Repentance. Then you turn on your sin and you realize where it was taking you and you say, I'm sorry, God. I give up. Here is my life. I messed it up. Now you can fix it. Because I give it to you from now on. Repentance. Aditya Manoj. Suffering unjust wrongs, wages. The word, that's unjust there, and then we have unjust again. We have it here in nominative plural, masculine, present participle, and passive, suffering unjust wrongs. And then we have the words misstone, and misstone means the wages, earned wages that you earn. Brother John, did you work hard today?
Yes.
How about Brother Bill?
Mm-hmm.
That, you lifted a lot of things and moved around and did a lot of moving and stuff. Do you feel like it, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. You, did you earn your dollar today, Brother Bill?
Yes.
That's what this word mistone means here. Earned wages, earned by sweat and blood. Have you ever seen a soldier in sin? There are some real good ones out there. Soldiers in sin. You know, we're all supposed to be soldiers of the Lord, aren't we?
Hmm.
But there are some real soldiers in sin out there in the world. Earning the wages of sin. Earning wages as wrongdoers. And then he says, hedonistic. This is where our word hedonistic comes from, right out of this Greek word, hedonein. Hedonistic. What in the world does hedonistic mean? Seeking pleasure no matter what it costs you or anybody else around you. What do you think about that? Seeking pleasure no matter what it costs you or anybody else. Seeking pleasure with a blank check. But you know what happened? To the hedonistic people in the end, it's not, there's not going to be any pleasure at all. Hell, there's no pleasure in hell. There's no pleasure in hell. In the world today, there are people that like to beat each other up. And they get a kick out of that. Did you know that? There are people, you know, I talked to police officers at times, they go out to homes where the husband and the wife are beating the tar out of each other. And they'll just beat the tar out of each other for a while and they love each other the next day. Because they like doing it. It's exciting. Better than television to them. That's stupid. I mean, maybe some people like that, but I don't like that. All right, hedonistic. And then hegumenoi. And that means considering and counting, just running through their mind this hedonistic pleasure all the time, novelty, plural, masculine, present, participle, middle voice. It means that they're really enjoying this. That's what that word means. Considering it to be joyful, to be a liar, to be a wrongdoer. Demon, the, and that word is profane. Profane. We might have got our word trophy from this, I don't know. Profane. Okay? And that word tane and profane, that tane up there above, that's why I jumped all the way there down to the down below in the sentence below. Because that definite article up there describes this profane down there. It said, seeking the luxury in day. Seeking the luxury in day. This word luxury. It's only used, by the way, here, Peter used it right here. This is the only place it's used in the New Testament. Profane. Yeah, well, our word trophy might have come, but what is trophy? It's a sign of doing something.
Award?
Award. Mm-hmm. I knew a guy one time, a really close friend of mine. He had a brother that he was just not very proud of. And his brother had a whole album of women that he had gone with, that he conquered. I had their pictures of them. I don't know how many. He'd be like 150 women in this trophy. It's a trophy book. Where do you think that comes from? All they were just trophies. People that he had conquered. Wickedness. Luxury. It means base pleasure. And then it says philoid here. Spaloi. That means to disfigure. Spaloi. Disfigure. That means to take something that's beautiful and to spot it and to stain it. The word to die comes from this in one of the etymological areas of this word. It means to die. But the word, if you can dye something sometimes and make it very beautiful, can't you? Different colors you can dye. But this means to ruin. Like a beautiful woman with a wart on her nose. Big old ugly nose. And it stays there. They didn't get a nose job. Stays there. Ugly. Spots. Flaws. Disfigurement. It says, and blemishes, momoi. And that one's only here in the New Testament, by the way. It's a blot, a blemish, again, a disfigurement. I remember one time when I was in the land of Israel, when we went up to the city of Bethany, when we got out to go see Lazarus' tomb. There was some archaeological guides there on the bus with us, and he said, there's a bunch of children out here that are disfigured. Look the other way. Don't pay any attention to them. Don't give them any money. They're going to come up and they'll put their hands out there and they'll be crying and begging you for money. Don't pay any attention to them. Just walk by. And he said, then you're going to ask me why? Because he said their parents disfigured them so they could sit there and beg. Your parents, when you were a child of Satan, disfigured you. Did you know that? When we were children of Satan, our parent, our father, the God of this world, disfigured us in sin. I saw some of these little kids there, their eyes had been poked out, they were blind, their arms had been broken and twisted behind them, and their legs had been done the same way. Their parents disfigured them for a purpose. And what it's talking about here is that these people have moved into God's church and they are stains, they are disfigurements among you. God's people ought to be born again, isn't it? God's people ought to be doing born again things. Tomorrow when you go out into this world from morning till night, this thing, what I'm doing, is it doing for the glory of God? Is this something that I want God to look down on me and see me do? God's people ought to be doing God's stuff. Blemishes. And then the word is entrophrones. Here we have the word trophao again. And they're just absolutely enveloped in this luxury. Just enveloped in it. The book of James talks about this also, doesn't it? You know, the Bible talks about rich people as hardly getting into heaven. Did you know that? That's what it says. Well, back in those days, only the rich were robbers. They got that way by theft. And they got into high places of authority by abusing others and being wicked. They wickedly attained what they had attained. And they wickedly held on to what they had attained. It says in the daylight that they're just absolutely reveling. And then it says, in taste, appetite. That sounds like the word appetite, doesn't it? This word apotase there, and it says, in the apotase of them, alton. The word apotase means to deceive, to defraud, to cast a spell upon, to defraud. I remember one time, B.S. Madden, one of my teachers, he's, as far as I know, he's still alive. He's sick now. He has Alzheimer's. But that was, I used to come out from Arkansas to California, and he lived down in Anaheim. You know, Anaheim's right in the middle of Los Angeles. And he wanted to meet John Wayne. He just loved to watch John Wayne on television.
Brother Madden said like this, "I don't know why anybody would want to meet a liar. All them actors are liars. They're getting up there lying, looking at you with a straight face. Nothing but a liar. Who would want to meet a liar?"
It says, end the lying, end the defrauding, end the deceiving, end the acting, end the seduction into error. That's what, all of that's in this word. And then it was soon Okamanoe. How many of you have ever gone out to dinner and just absolutely gorged yourselves until you were absolutely in misery?
That's what happened after church, isn't it?
That's what this word means. He said they have gone to your church dinners and they have gorged themselves. They have just gorged and gorged and gorged and taken advantage of your good hospitality, and they've overeaten. And they feasted with you abundantly. They have gorged themselves. They have become gluttons in your church houses and your church meetings. Jude 22.
These hedonistic liars, they've disfigured and they've blemished the church.
That's right.
Okay, so
these terrible people have got into God's churches and they've led the churches away from God. And they've displaced God and run Him out of the churches. And it's no longer God's churches in many places. They've completely gone away from God. And we can see that through the lands so much. Jude 22. Someone read Jude 22 for me.
Some have mercy on imperfect who are wavering.
All right. We have mercy on some that are wavering. All right. 2 Peter 2 and 15. It uses the word agapeo there in a derogatory manner. And then John 12 and verse 43. What does John 12 and verse 43 say? John 12 and verse 43.
They love the approval of men rather than the approval of God.
They love the approval of men. They love the praise of men rather than the praise of God. They love. The word is agapeo. They gave their lives. They would give their lives. They would sacrifice their lives for the approval of men, but all the time when they got the approval of men, guess what? God did. God disapproved of what they did. And who's it talking about there, by the way? They're talking about the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites in that time. And the Lord gave a whole chapter to it in the book of Matthew, how He absolutely condemned them. They were the religious leaders of the day. False teachers. All right. They loved. And then Jude 12. Someone read Jude 12 for me.
These men are those who are hidden reeds in your love feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by wind, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted.
All right. That's talking about people in God's churches. Their love feast, that word is it comes from agape, in the love feast. You know, in God's churches, we love one another. God's people love one another. You ought to. Jesus said, if you want to be great, what do? Love the brethren. Sacrifice yourself for the brethren. That's what you do. Love the brethren. If you want to be great, love the brethren. Serve, be a servant to all. All the brethren is what it's talking about. 2 and verse 14. Athamus, Ekontes, Maestus.
Makalitos.
Kai. Kata. Pons. Paus. Teptos. Okay, that's a hard one to say. Hamartios. That's easier. The Lockstone Pace. Sikos. Asteritus. Cardion. Gegu men nas menen. Oh boy. Pleon nes dios. Ekontes. Kataris. And Techno. We'll get this one and then we'll quit for tonight. 2 Peter 2:18, James 1 and 8, 2 Peter 3:16 and 2 and 3, Ephesians 2 and 3, James 4 and 4, and 1 Peter 4 and 1, and Deuteronomy 21, 21 through 35. Those are all cross references to this. And by the way, in the last part of this sentence is again another Hebraism. That's a Hebrew figure of speech. He says, eyes having, full of adultery. Are the eyes of an adulteress having? These people are unconverted in God's churches. That's what's going on here. Unconverted people in God's churches. Eyes full of adultery. They cannot look at a woman, or a woman cannot look at a man without thinking unclean thoughts. And it says, and not ceasing from. And here, by the way, this word akata pulostos, that word there is it's kind of a verbal accusative plural, masculine. It's kind of a verbal, and it's the only place it's used in the New Testament is right here. Peter used some real high words. He wasn't the dumb fisherman that people call him. How are you being acquainted with that now, finally? The words that he's using? These are difficult words. These are words that are in the well-read society, in the Greek society. These are he's well-read. He said, eyes full of adultery, not ceasing from sin. Boy, have you ever had to rub elbows with that kind of church member, Brother Bill? Alluring. Enticing. Non-recoral masculine, present participle acting. They're not, they are alluring, they're enticing, they are baiting other people's souls. These are wolves. These are people that are, these are like, they are fish in the sea that can stick their tongue out like this and it looks like a worm. And they get another fish to come over there, and they call the angler fish, and they got little things that come out there, and they get the people, the other little fish people in reach, and they eat them. They're enticing them to what? To kill them. That's what it's talking about. It means to bait. When you go out and you go fishing with a pole and a line, you bait the fish, don't you? You throw them something out there so that it looks like this is food and it tastes good. It tastes good and it smells good. Come and get it and forget about the hook that's inside. Because I'm going to eat you. That's what this word means. Take him, enticing them. Souls. And then it says, asteric. Asteritus. This comes from alpha and what? Steroid. Not strong. They entice and they lead astray people that aren't strong in the faith.
Baby Christians.
They are trying to destroy them. When you're saved, you have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of God. Now, what is the only thing that Satan can do with your life when you've been saved? Torment it and mess it up for the Lord. All right. Unstable hearts. Cardia. We have the word cardiac. Cardia from this word here. It means a heart. Except here it means the center of being. And then it says, having been exercised. This is the word we get our word gymnasium from. Gymnasium. It comes from gymnazo. Gymnasium. Our word gymnasium comes right out. Having been exercised in pleonesias. In sailing around and grabbing everybody else's stuff. That's what the word means. It means to sail around and grab everything in sight. Like the old Pac-Man thing, eating up everything. Having cursed children. That's the Hebraism there. When you act in such a way and you revel in your sin, it doesn't stop with you. It affects your children. And you can curse your children. What you need to do for your children is give them the best mommy and the best daddy they could ever have and hope that they repeat the situation. Because if you don't, you have cursed your children. You can either give your children a blessing or a curse. That's what it's talking about there. Cursing their children. Damning them. Just think today. Have you damned your children or have you become a blessing to your children?
I think they realize they're wrong. These people.
Well, it says sometimes that they absolutely do and they are bold in it. Daylight robbers. That's what it said in last week's daylight robbers. Daylight robbery. Singing in the daylight. Singing in the plain. Out in the open.
In the church.
Yeah, in churches.
And it's like those people, like some of the people that praise for the license to sin.
That's right. Saved once, saved forever. Well, if you're saved once, I can guarantee you're saved forever.
If you're saved.
If you're saved. But if you're saved, and you're going to do some of these things, if you don't get knocked plumb in the head, I would say that God's not your father because He whips His children. He corrects them. He tries to make them walk right. Thank you for your attention tonight. The seats maybe weren't quite as hard as they were last week. Some of you got some softer seats. Thanks to Brother John Gage, he got us some soft seats in here. Thank you so much for your attention, and I hope God's Word was a blessing to you.